Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everyone. It's the Machin Page App Podcast. We are here again forever and all eternity. I think this was meant to be
Jesus Christ, our original plan.
What?
I've just thought we're doing this forever, every Wednesday, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. Forever. Well, this is the point, is that what this was meant to be our plan for series two is not what we've had. Our plan was to steal a march from Jamie Carragher and do a relatively short run second series, do like 12, 13 episodes, have a different guest, really interesting people, loads of boss stories and all that on each and every one. And then obviously, boom, coronavirus. And to be fair, I'm genuinely not begrudging it, but it's funny, isn't it? And it ties in with the theme of this week's podcast. We spoke about this last week. I asked loads of you, and loads of you did send them in for your coulda, woulda, shouldas. And that is just an opportunity for everyone to have a big whinge, get a load of stuff off the chest. What are the things that you've missed out on in life because of the way that the world has happened? You know, you're not allowed to talk about these things really, because obviously there are far more serious and far more pressing things happening in the world. But also, yeah, exactly. But I'm what? We're still allowed to feel disappointed if boss things didn't happen. So we're going to go through some of ours and some of yours a little bit later. But look, let's catch up, Chris. How are you doing at the moment? You were you don't seem as catastrophically harassed as you've been in recent weeks.
Oh, well, that's because I'm too tired to be.
too tired to emote.
I've got a twitchy eye. I'm so tired at the moment. Like, I think it might actually be going right now here. My back's gone again, which is fantastic. So that's not been great. But all told, mentally, I'm in a good place. Physically, terrible place. But happy at the moment. I seem to be a lot better than I was last week. When we came to do this podcast, I was in a bad place, I think mentally more than anything last week. So yeah, I feel like I'm in a good place. Like, about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad. I think we talked about this last week, but I think everyone across the board is reaching their saturation point of the world being like this. And again, you know, at the risk of being a bit too lighthearted about the whole thing, which I don't wish to be. I think we all should know us well enough by now to know that we're not fundamentally gobshites. We're just, you know, we're idiots, but we're not nasty people at our hearts. But I think you can start to see that. I think it's that everyone could just do with something to look forward to. Everyone could just do with having a change of circumstances. And I'm not expecting, because obviously at the time of recording, the plans are for Boris Johnson to come out on Sunday and he's going to reveal the next stage of plans or what the end of lockdown is going to look like. I'm not saying I want it all to end, because that's just ridiculous. We've got the highest death toll in Europe at the moment. You know what I mean? The idea that
I'm surprised you were able to find out about that, Paul, because they've buried that behind the story about the doctor and his missus. And to be quite honest, that's exactly what they've attempted to do. Apparently, they've known this for a good 3 or 4 weeks now. And it's only today that they've actually released this information. And that is because we've overtaken Italy as the country in Europe with the highest death toll. So I'm quite surprised you've managed to unearth that little nugget there, because, yeah, fucking funny that, joke. Ridiculous, yeah, mate. But it's, I'm so fuming with this government and these people in charge at the moment, mate. They're an absolute fucking joke. When you look at the deaths in New Zealand and Australia, you know how many deaths in New Zealand and Australia, Paul? Under 100 in both of these countries. Do you know why?
Because
they enacted the pandemic plan. They enacted it. They tested people early. They traced people. And they did everything that was in our pandemic plan coming out of the 2007 bloody... What was that? 2007...
Ebola, SARS.
No, no. When we did a study and about the pandemic and it was decided that it was a major thing and we had to do it. And then obviously austerity. The Tory government put us all into austerity. And then Brexit took away all our money and all our focus. So we forgot to fund the pandemic plan for the last 2 years. And you've got countries like Australia and New Zealand there, and you've got people in the UK going, oh, you know, and they're brushing it aside, and I'm not talking about the government now, I'm going, it's the Chinese government didn't let us know, you know, the full extent. Well, I'm sorry, did you think they just picked up the phone to Australia and New Zealand and told them the exact truth and nothing but the truth?
Yeah.
Because there's countries out there who were in exactly the same boat as we were, with the same misinformation or information, whatever you choose, who've reacted in a positive manner. And yet, for some reason, yeah, this government has somehow managed to pull the wool over 90% of the population's eyes and make them think they're doing a fucking good job. They've done a terrible job. Somebody needs to pay for it. Somebody probably should go to prison. It's that bad. And because there's people who've lost lives. You know what my wife coded today, and I don't even know whether I'm allowed to say this. She did something in her work that said, wasn't able to look at patients, no PPE. Right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Nice one.
Yeah. Well, you see, I saw a post on Twitter today, and you should always be careful where you get these things, but, you know, I saw someone saying someone in that environment died because they didn't have the correct equipment, and then someone said, can you cover their shift because they're dead, but do it with the same lack of equipment that person had? I'd be like, nah, you're all right. But the problem is, of course, is once again, this is the way that the modern society works, unfortunately. And we keep coming back to it, you know. And I say generally socialist, but I'm more Ferris Bueller. So I don't believe in isms, you know. Just believe in people and all that kind of stuff. Like, but because of the way that society works, and because people like doctors and nurses and teachers and all the people who are effectively the frontline workers and all the people are the people who are the biggest, suffer the biggest disrespect, and often they're the ones that are thrown to the wolves because it's a vocation, because it's a passion. You know, you grow, you don't just become a doctor. You know, you have to be of a certain mindset. It's often like an ambition you've had growing up. You always wanted to be this, so you train for it and you become it. And once you've become it, that's all you want to be in your life. So you stick it out, even though you didn't necessarily, it's not necessarily all you hoped it would be. And the government, particularly Conservative governments, prey on that because they know that those people are going to turn up to the jobs because they are conditioned to turn up and do the jobs because they feel like they're doing it for the greater good, the Hippocratic Oath and all that kind of stuff, where you've got to, if you don't do it, then you are somehow failing yourself and you're failing your profession and you're failing this and that. And, you know, if everyone else felt like that, the world would be a lot better and a lot safer. But unfortunately, you know, it's being put on the toes of your average people. And I said this last week about, you know, we shouldn't have to clap the NHS, we shouldn't have to treat it like it's a charity. But that's all, these things stem from the same area, is the people in charge have no respect, really. They can say the words and they can stand on the street and they can bang pots and, you know, pots and pans and do what it is that they do, but they possess fundamentally at a human level no respect for the people who are going into the real, you know, into the trenches for this.
You look at what, like, the reporting of COVID-19 and this pandemic in the UK is absolutely atrocious, and this is where a large part of our problem comes from. It's the media, and it's no coincidence that the two worst ranked countries with the two worst leaders are the two countries in the world with the highest death toll, by the way. And the way that we look and laugh at Donald Trump is the way the rest of the world is looking and laughing at us right now. And yeah, there's people that I know that, you know, have been spoken to, and they're not in England, and they're going, what in the hell are you not doing or doing in this, in your country? Because this is not how it should have played out for you guys. We're in the bubble and we can't see that, and we've got a press that is so closely aligned to their political feelings that they can't write the truth, and we can't read the truth in this country unless we're willing to go and search it out. But the people around the world are, you know, not laughing at us in the way, because this, it's serious, but they're also like dumbfounded at the response or lack thereof of this government. Mental, mate. Absolutely.
Yeah,
mental.
Because again, it's hubris. Hubris is at its finest, isn't it? It's just, you know, sociopaths running things, and they've got their, they've only got regard for themselves and promoting their own things, and they don't think about the little people. And it's mad. Again, but this is the problem we've got, and it links back to what I was saying, because ultimately, everyone's reaching their, I think everyone's reaching their tolerance and their saturation point of all of this. So people don't care. People do care, but, like, you know what I mean, is it isn't a national scandal because everyone's just bored of it all. And it, you can only hold the public's attention, you can only hold stuff on the front pages of people's attention, so to speak, for so long, because it just gets, yeah, people just get bored. People want something new, they want something fresh. And so, yeah, and it ties into the serious things, but more importantly, you know, it's probably going to lead to a situation where, you know, people who are to blame are probably going to end up getting away with blame, because they're going to end up, Boris Johnson's probably going to end up positioning himself as this guy who's the hero who solved it all. Eventually, when it all comes out, they'll remind everyone of all the big hard things that they've done, and all the hard decisions, and all the, you know, the money that they funded people with, and all this kind of stuff. And he'll end up, there'll be people like celebrating him like some sort of Churchillian god.
No, before we move on from there, right, you got like Matt Hancock coming out and saying, you know, the politicising almost doctors and nurses who are dying, like, to come out and give them 60,000 quid. Like, it's a large sum of money, of course, and the families will be better off for it, of course. They'd obviously rather want their loved ones, of course. But equally, that's paying for a future lawsuit, or keeping a future lawsuit at bay, because they know they're so up the chuff there because they never provided the right PPE 100%. And stuff like that. It's an absolute disgrace. And you're right, Johnson's going to be doing all of that type of stuff as well, where he comes out and he's the big hero and all this type of stuff. But I just can't fathom that people are so fucking stupid that they're believing half the stuff that these people are telling them. I mean, it's propaganda at the best of time, these conferences.
Yeah, but this is what happened when you've got like people talk coming out and downplaying the severity of the whole thing and going, oh, it's just like the AIDS situation, forgetting, of course, that, yes, you know, AIDS isn't the pressing, you know, crisis that today that it was in the 80s or whatever, but like loads of people died of it. And that's the thing, is that I think everyone's reaching the point now where the death tolls, people have stopped checking, people have stopped listening, people have just settled into a rut. Yeah, and but also, as I say, people are just settled into a rut of it all, and I wonder whether, you know, whether refreshing the whole situation of everyone's in might actually bring things back, which is be interesting to see what the government actually do on Sunday and whether that informs their approach. But you're right on that, the paying people off effectively. You know, you basically say, yeah, I'll take this money, and it means, you know, you can't bring the lawsuit against me. I remember, it's just a daft example of it, because I remember when my wife was pregnant and was in a car accident, and that the insurance company phoned up with an offer like 12 hours after the accident. That never happens. Anyone who's ever been in that kind of situation, it's like days and weeks and months, and it's gone. They'll throw a sum of money because if something bad happens, to, you know, get that sum of money sorted before the child's born in case there's any complications, and you get that case shut, it's closed, and you can't do anything about it. So, yeah.
So, if just one more thing before we move on to the light-hearted stuff then, mate. Have you seen all this, like, Hancock's actually using the pandemic to privatise parts of the NHS? Have you seen this? Like, genuinely, he's like companies like Deloitte and all that type of stuff are now centralising and running the purchasing and movement of PPE across the NHS. Like, and there's big government contracts to Tory donors been put in place. Never let it be said that they're not fucking bastards and they will not take advantage of absolutely everything to make them and their little cronies from Eton some more money. Because I tell you what, the speed with which they responded to coronavirus from a making money point of view was 10 times fucking better from a saving lives point of view.
The thing that gets me on this whole thing is that we just live in a world where you can get away with anything. unless, you know, provided you're big enough and you're rich enough. And maybe it's always been this way, but it's so like blindingly, like it's happening now. It's kind of like there's a bit in Guardians of the Galaxy, or is it? It's one of the Avengers films with the Guardians in it, and Drax is pretending to be and thinks he's turning invisible because he's moving so slowly that he's imperceptible to the human eye, and that is basically what Donald Trump and the Conservative government have become like. Is they're like going, no, you know, you're stealing from us. You are contributing to people dying on a daily basis. Yes, we are, but we're doing it so blatantly, obviously, that you can't even see us doing it. So, no, we can. We can see you doing it. You're doing it right now. You're doing it right now, Boris. You were literally ruining the country in front of our eyes like that. No, but I'm doing it in such a buffoonish way that it can't possibly be real. No, but it is. It's floppy,
and I'm a buffoon, and I'm going to hide the fact that I'm a killer. I'm literally a murderer, and I have no problem with it as long as my friends are making money off the back of it. It's absolutely fucking scandalous, and the problem is they realise now, between them, between Trump, between Johnson, that you can just lie in politics, and there's absolutely nothing that the country are going to hold you to account to. And you just brush it under the thing, and because of the 24 news cycle, everything will move on so fast it'll be forgotten about, and there's nobody there to pull you back or to rein you in, and you can besmirch one of them. If you look at Corbyn, and I'm not suggesting that he would have been the best leader of all time, but certainly he was probably the most genuine politician we've had in this country for the last 20 to 30 years, who you can see in his voting record exactly what he will have done. They literally played him as a communist and a fucking anti-Semite and tarnished him. And he was perhaps not going to be the best leader for the Labour Party, perhaps not going to be the best leader of all time. They just outright lied about him. When they've got a bloody racist in charge of this country, who's happily shag anything and got illegitimate children, who'll happily kill, like literally just put half the country in austerity, and yet it's the guy who wanted things to be right for everybody who gets besmirched and fucking left for dead and in the political landscape. It's absolutely baffling, and it's all done with a fucking big smile, slogans on the bus, and a fucking panhandle in your hand while you're doing it. Ridiculous, mate.
Yeah, it's mad. And what's mad about it all is, again, we're now, because the similarities in America and this country, it's always been the way. We're always just a bit behind America, which is crazy because it should be the other way around. People talk about like British power, and all the people who talk about like the strength of this country, and they still go on about the empire, and they go on about the world wars and all that crap. And yet they don't see how incredibly weak this country is by comparison to America. We're not, and we're an insignificant dust mote on the shoulder of America at times. And we copy them and follow them. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about these American lockdown protests we're having them in this country now. I say we. I mean, you know, the people who are missing, probably missing several chromosomes, and you know, and have as many, you know, missing brain cells as well, are protesting, the 5G protesters, and they're turning into lockdown protesters, and you can see it was going to happen, and it's like living, and I've said this for ages. You watch, I grew up watching lots of, I'm a big sci-fi, science fiction fan and what have you, and I like, you know, you look like George Orwellian style dystopian futures are all really interesting, because it's like, oh, what would happen if the worst case happened? Are we actually living in a dystopian future and nobody told us? You know, like everyone's going, oh, imagine if it was as bad as this. I mean, look at it. We're like, we're not allowed to leave our houses. We're not allowed to be in physical contact with anyone who isn't in our house. You've got people dying, you know, going into shocking working conditions and dying for minimum wage. You know, there's vapored like Hollywood style leaders in charge of the major nations, you know, particularly Donald Trump. He's like, it's almost like having Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Simpsons universe in there. It's just mad that we are, you know, we live. When did this happen? It's because it didn't happen overnight, because there wasn't like a revolution, and there wasn't like a, you know, like we didn't lose a war and it happened. I don't think, I think people need those things to recognise when these things are happening. There needs to be a night and day change.
you know what it's exactly like, Paul, right? When we come out of lockdown and me and you step in front of each other, you'll go, fucking hell, Chris, you've piled on the pounds, lad. But if I'd have been coming in the office every single day, you'd never have noticed it in quite the same way, you know what I mean? And that's like, you know, it's like when you haven't seen someone, when you haven't seen a kid for ages, they're like, wow, you're massive, you lad, are you kidding me? But when it's your kid or something, you're like, oh yeah, they have kind of grown there, haven't they? You know what I mean? And that's kind of what it is. It becomes normal and you normalise these fucking idiots. And then all of a sudden, they're running the world. I mean, like, the English thing, I think you're spot on with the America stuff, right? And, like, we have nukes because we buy them off America. Like, I mean, if the shit hits the fan, right? They're just going to stop supplying us nukes. You know what I mean? Like the Trident project and all that, they're all American design nuclear weapons. Obviously they're ours and they're our arsenal, but don't get me wrong, I think we're talking about redoing them, aren't we? Because some of them are coming up to the end of the usefulness and stuff now. Like, I don't trust that the Americans haven't hardwired them so that they can take control of them, you know. That's where my trust ends. Like, I'm not buying nukes off anyone else. I want to nukes, you know what I mean? Why? Well, like, wouldn't you though?
Yeah.
Why would you?
No, but you've got to be careful, because if we develop our own, America will come and invade us to stop us doing it, mate. So, you know what I mean? You've got to watch out. You can't be too careful. I love it all. Do we know? Actually, we never talked about this in the podcast. Do we know if Kim Jong Un's alive? Is that? I need to find out.
I think there was something that said he was spotted and he made a public appearance, but I genuinely haven't like checked it up. I just saw it on Twitter and went, okay, he's still alive. Oh well. But no, I don't know whether
headlines,
it was a real photograph.
The headlines of this. Or...
Go ahead.
The South Korea is saying there's no signs of heart surgery. The Mirror is saying there's rumours of Kim Jong-un used a body double for his first public event since his death fears. It's just brilliant. I just love the idea that, like, this is the world we're in now, where you're being tracked and, like, you know, you can be followed all around because your mobile phone and all this kind of stuff. And there was like a 3-week period where no one knew whether a leader of one of the most dangerous rogue nations on the planet was alive or dead. But this is the crux of it all. Oh God, yeah, no one cares about anything, man. Honestly, it's bad. I just want to, you know, and I'm still, honestly, my main focus is just still, when can I have a haircut? That's all I really care about at this point. I can honestly, I've seen Ped from Toffee TV. I've seen him today, and he's gone
full
US
on.
Military style, yeah. Yeah, not quite the one, but he's gone. It's late to be doing that, I think, Chris. This was my thing about the haircut stuff.
Can I just get a word in that I've always wanted to get a word in properly? Just tell me the pets have gone, you know, done that again. Just tell me one more time. Ooh.
What?
That was my word. I just wanted
what?
To get in. Ooh. There. I've never had cause to use it in an actual conversation before. I'm not sure if it suits me, but okay, I'll watch it back and see.
No.
Has he, yeah?
Yeah, let us know in the comments. has Chris nailed Uwe there or not? We're in the danger zone now, because, like, and I said, all the people who went early, the people who went in the first, like, 2 days of lockdown, and I laughed at them and I said they were idiots for going in too hard, for losing the plot too soon. And then obviously you've all seen and listened to me over the weeks as I've drifted away from that opinion to the point where it's going to become a pressing urge. But the problem is that this is where we're at now. And I knew this is what I've been trying to resist, because I've had the clippers. I got the clippers off my brother-in-law. They've been in ours now for about 3 weeks, and I've stayed clear of them because I would never go all off anyway, because it's just stupid. Like, I haven't had that haircut since I was 15, 16, I think. Now's not the time to be doing it. But we're going to, the people who are doing it this week, the people who've broken, I'm just waiting for Sunday, Chris, because I've got a feeling they're gonna loosen lockdown, and my God, the second those barbers are open, I'm going to be in like a shot. Hello, everyone. Just a quick word from me, Mate. We have got our own Patreon, patreon.com/MateXPageAck. If you enjoy everything that we do on the podcast and on the YouTube channel and all the social media accounts as well, then you can help to support it and be part of our growing community. You get access to exclusive Discord groups, you get extra content and discounts from a variety of things and our partners that we've made along the way, including the fantastic Threads for Reds. You can get involved by heading to patreon.com/MateXPageAck, and we'll see you there. Okay, it sounds... Wait, what?
You said right, I said left, up, down, centre, I went.
So, it sounds like we've purged, but we haven't purged.
We're not even purging, yeah.
Purge. Have you got anything in addition to that that you want to purge this week?
1920s urban planners.
Urban planners?
Yeah, the people who decided how the cities were going to be built, Paul.
19/20 People from the 1920s?
Yeah. Okay, but yeah. If there's any still alive, they're literally getting purged, lad.
Okay, sounds... Why?
Well, I'm going to read you a thread that was brought to my attention by one Mr. Aubrey Reynolds. And it starts with the word thread. After buying a house with his wife, who suffers from allergies, Tom Ogren wanted to get rid of anything on his property that might trigger an attack. He began examining the neighbourhood when he noticed something unusual. Every single tree was male. At first, he thought this may have been a coincidence in just his one city. He then started studying landscaped plants in other cities and noticed the exact same pattern. Tom found an article on urban landscaping in the 1949 Yearbook of Agriculture. The book advised, when used for street plantings, only male trees should be selected to avoid the nuisance from the seed. The reasoning was that tiny pollen spores are likely to be blown away by wind or washed away by rain, making pollen an easier civic task to manage than overripe fruit or heavy seed pods that would need to be cleaned up by actual humans. Nurseries began selling more male plants too, mainly because it's easier to clone an existing tree than to wait for males and females to pollinate each other naturally. Slowly, not just trees and shrubs, but ornamental plants sold in nurseries ended up being male. Ironically, if urban landscapers had planted female trees instead, neither pollen nor unsightly seeds would have been an issue. Hundreds of female trees would have been sterile and tidy without any pollen, because female trees don't make fruit or seeds without males around. No one wants to cut trees down already planted, so changes are slow to implement. If you're wondering why you spend a good portion of the year suffering from allergies, think back to the origins of urban forestry and planting of only male trees. You mean to tell me that I can't fucking breathe because some urban landscaper picked the wrong fucking tree to plant in the city? Are you having a fucking laugh? And that's why we're suffering for like 4 weeks a year, because some fucking guy planted fucking trees with dicks. Are you having a laugh, Paul? Fuck's sakes.
Someone 100 years ago went, I can't be bothered, just can't be bothered cleaning up bits of fruit. Let's just have some male trees. I wonder if that's just true of society, the whole of society, if it was just women and no men, would the world be just a better place for not having us around, not having us spreading our pollen about the place and making life difficult?
Probably, Paul. Like, look, I've not fact-checked this and I have no interest in fact-checking it. It suits my agenda, and so I'm going with that to my grave, mate. But my word, I was so angry reading that thread.
Yeah.
So angry. How does it make you feel? All of this could have been avoided, mate.
My hay fever's not bothering me at the moment, so it's fine. But I can appreciate...
Wait until it gets to frigging grass season.
No, I know, honestly. Like I said, my hay fever's... I do suffer from hay fever. I don't suffer from it so far, touch wood, like some of the people who are really suffering from it now. You've been having it, but that's mad, that, isn't it? Like, if that's true...
It's just insane.
This is the thing... There's so much that goes on in our world that we're just too thick to think about and understand. Like that, I don't know whether it makes me love the world more. When I'm in a bad mood, it makes me hate hate life more than anything else, of how senselessly complicated it is. Like, that someone could make a decision like that that can have such a horrible knock-on effect down the line. But I've got bigger things to worry about, Chris, at the moment, all told. But that's very, very...
Listen, mate, you and the rest of the world are fighting off this invisible energy enemy that is COVID-19 right now. But I'm on a war on two fronts, mate. I'm not only fighting COVID-19 off and all of that, I'm fighting pollen too. So fucking cry for me, mate. Feel for me.
Yeah.
I need your empathy. I need that right now. And to tell me that I didn't need to be in this war because some fucking dickhead who was driving a Ford because that was the only car at the time has made the decision about planting trees with dicks, that just winds me up.
Genuinely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
I don't know if it's true, but fuck me, I hope it is.
Yeah, I
don't at the same time.
That is as good a... Look, it doesn't need to be true, Chris. So long as we all think it's true, that have we learned nothing? If the topic of this podcast has been anything, it's that the truth is unimportant. It's what we can be asked to believe is the most important thing, and I'm happy with that. I'm happy to live in that world. So if you're happy with that to be the reasoning, I think we need that. I think we all need.
I need someone to blame. It's not my body.
Yeah.
My body's not crap. My body's not making diseases up, because that's all hay fever.
Your body's
is
a temple,
anyway.
Chris. Your body's
exactly.
A temple.
It's not like I've got a bad back and bad eyesight and a receding hairline and hay fever and all of this type of stuff. It's totally on them 1920s urban landscapers, mate.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel better, okay? Makes me feel better to know that it's not my fault.
Yeah,
to know that it's somebody else 100 years ago who ever found and pushed down the friggin' stairs.
Or... we've just discovered what, like, who the equivalent of 5Gers were in the 1940s. Male polliners. Oh, it's these male polliners. They're probably writing notices to pin on the town hall notice board all about how this was taking over the world. And it was, protect your family, get female-only trees in and around your property. Yeah, that's great. I really like that. If anyone is qualified, please, in the comments, or you can tweet us at MateXPayJack, please do let us know. Can you verify this for us? Is the reason that people suffer so badly from pollen is because 100 years ago people decided to plant predominantly male trees and plants? I'll take it. We're all looking for that, aren't we? I think we're all looking for those things. Whenever life is out of our control, we all look for deeper reasonings behind it. It's like why people have the lucky socks for the football, so that makes the football team win and all that. But this sounds real, Chris. This sounds legit.
And the thing is, like, the lucky socks thing's stupid, isn't it? Because
it's lucky
like, you haven't got lucky socks because they're mine. Mine are the lucky socks. It's got nothing to do with you.
Until then they stop being lucky and then you find a reason for why their luck powers have worn out. Maybe they've got a hole in them.
Yeah, you change your washing powder or whatever. You hung them out to dry instead of throwing them in the tumble
dryer.
There's loads of reasons. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, stupid. Absolutely.
I don't understand it.
As far as purges go for me this week, there's a lot of similar themes, and I think we'll find if someone was to supercut all of our purges, various body parts of ours have come into play a lot. We're basically a bit like that scene in the RoboCop remake where they pull back the suit and he's just a brain and a face and a hand, and that's about it. That's pretty much what we got left. But what's really annoying me, I don't know how to phrase the purge on this, but I really want to exercise. Like, I really want to. And there are things I can do, but the problem is because I've mentioned this before, I pulled me back just before lockdown. So if I run for like 10 yards, I'm feeling it for 2 days afterwards because of me back, and I've got bad knees anyway, so the impact of running's never really suited me, and the fact that before it gets raised, I've not got the best running technique anyway. Honestly, I run like Jordan Pickford. Little arms. I'd love to be able to, so my options are limited for what I can do. There's no gyms open, and I see all these people running, Chris, and I see all these people cycling, and I would love to cycle, but somebody borrowed my bike about 5 or 6 years ago and put it on the back of his car, and it fell off the back of his car, and it's never been right since. So my bike doesn't work, and I would give it any. So it's like that's I see these people, and I hear these stories, people going out cycling, and I know the wind in the hair, and you know it's never quite as easy as that. Anyone who hasn't cycled for
you'd
a long
hate
time
the wind
knows.
In your hair.
Oh no, it'd be glorious, mate, absolutely glorious. But the anything to, as long as I'm going into the wind, it's fine. But yeah, I don't know what I'm specifically purging here. Maybe it's just the fact that your Halfords aren't properly open. Because I'd buy a bike. I would buy a bike, a new bike today. But I can't buy a bike. And we tried to buy a bike for me wife as well. And she went through Sports Direct, and they said, yeah, here you go. There's your bike. No problem. Get it ordered. Get it boxed. No problem. And I was like, there you go. There's your birthday present. Sorted. 2 days later, oh no, sorry, we haven't got it in stock. There's a refund. Well, fuck you. If you're okay, here's my purge. Actually, I'm tangenting it. If it's not in stock, don't have it on your website anymore, you absolute arseholes. And that's not just Sports Direct, that's every company going, take it, stop getting our hopes up that we're going to be able to get these things. And you know what, frankly as well, you know, if Amazon can't get it to me within the space of a week, don't bother selling it, because I don't want it. If I've got to wait a month for it, I don't want it. Because what's life going to be like in a month? Who knows? You don't know. I hope it's not like this anymore, but I don't know. So yeah, that'll do. You get a bit, because you can't like Argos are the worst, Chris. They go because you can't filter by availability to your area. So you go, ooh, that example. That's a nice bike. That's a nice weight bench. That's a nice set of dumbbells. Whatever, anything exercise related. And you go, cool, I'll have that. Search, is it available for click and collect? No, it's not available for click and collect. Okay, well, I'll have it delivered. Is it available for delivery? No. Is it bollocks? Where's it next and nearest available? Oh, 500 miles away. Fuck you, I can't go 500 miles to get it. You know, if I was desperate in a previous world and existence, and I really wanted something, I've got a big car, I drive down somewhere, take a motorway journey, get what I needed, but I can't because I'm not allowed to. Take it off your website, you absolute melt. Life ruining pricks.
So come Christmas time, I was going to buy myself a turntable. And I was, Boxing Day sales, I wanted a turntable. And I was like, you know what I'm like? I'm not like massive on presents or anything like that. Because I generally don't want for things. And it's something you always say, if I want it, you'll generally go and buy it. Like, yeah. And I'm very much the same, but I am an R for a long time on things, whether I want them. But I knew I wanted a turntable this Christmas, and I knew I wanted to buy it with my Christmas money on Boxing Day. And I'd done so much research, and I obsessed about it. And I got to the point where Kat was telling me to shut up, stop talking about it, stop looking at them. Because I was just, it was all the time. It was non-stop. She'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, you don't want to know. She's like, you're looking at turntables again, aren't you? I'm like, yeah. Dirty little secret, like. And,
no, I'm looking at prostitutes.
I'm looking at porn. God damn it, I'm looking at porn. Okay, anything, just don't. I'm not looking at turntables right now. So I'm there, and I'm just like, I'm in my little hole. I'm going hard on for this Sony one, like, and I'm like, I'm fucking buying you in the morning. I'm going to rag you everywhere. Oh, lad. Yeah. You know what I mean? When I get that, I'm like, right, Argos have got it in stock. Richard Sounds. I think I drove down to Richard Sounds actually, and they didn't have it in stock. Anyway, so I'm like, I ordered it. And I was like,
hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The fucking right. Where am I going? Northwich. What the fuck is a Northwich?
Is that Wales?
Nah, do you know, funny enough, I say what the fuck is a Northwich, telling the truth, like, I used to work there. I did a week training there for Summerfield back in the day, like, so it's about 40 minutes away. I think it's on the way to like Wrexham-y, Wales-y type area. So I hoofed it down to Northwich at like 8 in the morning on Boxing Day to go and get me turntable. It was brilliant, like, I'm fucking, but this is the problem, this is what Argos does to you. It's like, that's not close.
In fact, I haven't told the story about the Super Nintendo minis. People know, obviously, there's been a craze in the last few years for these mini consoles, and it started with the mini NES. Now, and they were like so hard to get. But I had a NES as a kid. It was my first games console, so I've got a real soft spot for it. And I managed to get one before they all sold out, and I got it for Christmas, and my wife gave it to me, and it was fine. So when they announced the Super Nintendo one, I was like, right, you can't sleep on this, because if I don't get it boxed and get it sorted quickly, they'll sell out, and you won't be able to get them for love nor money. And that is as a psychopathic collector that I am, that didn't sit comfortably with me. So I got on, I managed to find, I was chasing it down on the old internet, finally found somewhere that had it on release day, and it was Smith's Toys, but they only had them in Bangor, and I was like, oh, Bangor's miles away, but you know what, I really want it, but I will, if I have to drive to Wales, I'll drive to Wales, it's fine, it's no, you know, because, you know, northwest of Wales, you know, it could be a lot worse. It's not like it's on the south coast or something, like, so fine, I'll do it. So I ordered it, and I was like, okay, this is absolutely fine, and I'll do it. And then like 2 days before it was released, I got me confirmation through that it was there, it's going to be ready to collect. And I just thought, okay, well, I'll just plan my route out. So I went on Google Maps and I put the postcode in, and it wasn't Bangor, Wales. No, it was Bangor Island, which is as far as journeys go, just that step further than I'm willing to go. So I was like, and I was like, it's just going to sit there in a storeroom, and I'll eventually I don't want the money, I want my mini SNES. So in the end, I had two. I complained about this enough that our good friend Steho, who obviously ran at the time the Fresh Press Network, whatever he runs now, but still there or thereabouts, and he had a load of writers all over the UK, and he had a writer who actually lived down the road from the Smiths in Bangor, who went and collected me Super Nintendo for me, and then posted it over. Oh my god, yeah.
I'm fucking glad you checked out.
Because
that would have been well more annoying had you driven to Bangor, Wales, to find that out.
100%, 100%. So yeah.
It's a fucking belter story, that one.
Yeah, it was. There you go. If you've had any similar stories on those, do let us know again in the comments underneath on YouTube, or you can tweet us at MateXPage. A quick word from today's sponsor. It is Threads for Reds. Head to threadsforreds.com for the finest Liverpool clothing on the planet today. This isn't your normal, usual stuff. Top quality materials. They've recently upgraded, so many things that you get in this kind of world are disposable t-shirts, they're disposable clothing. These are pretty much the best of the best. This is my favorite one at the moment. A donation goes to the NHS support if you buy this t-shirt, but they've got t-shirts, they've got hoodies, they've got sweatshirts, and they've got mugs as well. All brilliant. Go and check it out at threadsforreds.com. Right, so we do some coulda, woulda, shouldas.
I'm absolutely, absolutely bang on coulda, woulda, shouldas.
So the
so we'll start off with patrons. Mm. We mentioned it a couple of times now over the last couple of weeks. We've got a Patreon. It's patreon.com/MateXPayJack if you want to show your support for what we do, if you enjoy it, if you actually like us, then that would be lovely. Thank you very much to the people that do. You mean the world. So we're going to start with Leon Geary. I actually don't know how to say his name. And you know the worst thing? I've pronounced that differently when I've had to say it than how I pronounce that in my head. Do you ever do that?
Explain.
So I'll give you an example. When I was last on the Red Men podcast last week, I put a song, Telling Lies by the Menzingers.
Yeah.
Right? I've never, like, that's a band that I found like 4 or 5 years ago. I've never said the word out loud before. Like, and I just put it on there, and it wasn't until I came to say the word, I did exactly what I did then.
Yeah.
I fucked the word up right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to say it, and Ninjas. I realise when I'm about to say it, what if real fans of the show who've said this word think I'm a fraud?
Yeah.
And all this runs through my head at the exact time that I'm about to say the word, and I stall halfway through. So Leon Geary is what I've been saying in my head. Yeah. And when it came to crunch point, I thought, fuck, there's an E in there. I'm going to go with Geary.
You've just gone on, you've changed your answer on the spot. Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah. I think we all have a bit of that. I generally have been too bad with pronunciations, but you have those ones. Just as a random a note, there's a guy called Jeff, L-O-E-B is his surname, and he's one of the most famous comics writers going, and he's written all the biggest superheroes for Marvel, and I think he's done some stuff for DC.
Loeb?
So, yes, it is. But I've called him Jeff Leeb in my head for years and never had to say it out loud. And then, randomly, we were playing SingStar for my wife's birthday at the weekend, and there's a famous song, which I now can't remember what it's called, from Lisa Loeb. And I come on, I went, oh, it's Lisa Loeb, and then I went, oh my God, I never even missed the beat. That's obviously how you say that surname, and it always has been, but I've been saying it wrong. Like, I haven't. I've been saying it wrong. I haven't even said, I've been thinking it wrong. I've been thinking that name wrong for 20 years for no good reason, because Lisa Loeb's been around for 20 odd years. Could have got it right first time. Yeah, anyway.
Longer. But this is the thing. I had the same Game of Thrones. Are you? You know, I can't even remember which is the right one now in my head, or which one's the one that they say on the television show.
Yeah.
But I said it completely differently until the show came out, and then it was like, and you'd have that. Yeah. And it annoys the living daylight out of you when you because, like, I've read Lord of the Rings that many times that when I watch it, I'm like, that's not how I say that in my head.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on here? You've just ruined the whole thing for me.
Yeah, no, it's true. A book characters, that's definitely a thing when you read a book before you see it and you find out that a character's name is pronounced completely, completely differently to it. Yeah. There's tons of it. One mad example of that, before we do get into the coulda, woulda, shouldas, Ryu. Street Fighter. It's Ryu.
Yeah.
It's Ryu, apparently.
Yeah, it's not. It's Ryu.
Yeah, it's Ryu.
It's Ryu. It's got to be Ryu.
Yeah.
Because it's how I've always said it in my head.
Absolutely.
I'd really like a rendition of Stay, if you were willing to
Stay,
do it.
Stay, that's
mate.
It, yeah. I miss you. Whoa. I've nailed that.
Yeah.
That's exactly how the song goes.
So, Leon G said, hi, all. I personally had my busiest year planned for some years. I had a 2-week trip to Spain cancelled. I had 4 concerts rescheduled for next year. I was due to see a comedian in Cork, which was rescheduled. I had a stag do to go on in Scotland, rescheduled. I'm sure next year will be busy, though.
Yeah, there's loads of that kind of stuff. My one that kind of sparked all of it was this countdown, because we were supposed to be... Obviously, look... We were supposed to be watching Liverpool win the Premier League title, and that's
They're
still
supposed
all.
To have already won the league
yeah,
title. That's
exactly.
The first thing,
we should be watching. We should have watched Liverpool win it by points. Then we should have been getting to a point where, and what we've got is because we've got our shared calendar. I keep going, oh, what's that in the calendar? And like every week, there's an event or something that's not happening. So we were supposed to be just being football fans, see Liverpool win the league. Then we were supposed to have things prior to this. So there would have been a parade at some point. And there would have been... We were supposed to be hosting a live show at the Olympia with legends and thousands of people in attendance and gigs and stuff. We were meant to be hosting an absolutely massive warehouse party on the last game of the season that was going to be the biggest party Liverpool ever seen. We were meant to be doing that. We were meant to be flying over to Las Vegas to be part of the team for CopCon and getting a week in Las Vegas and getting to meet American Liverpool fans and party and have a pool party and be in Las Vegas and have all these things and we're not. We're just doing, what we're doing instead is we're desperately scrambling around trying to find any scrap of football content to fucking talk about because our entire livelihood is based around a fucking sport that doesn't exist anymore.
Do you know, though, it makes you appreciate what you've got, doesn't it? Because, like, there was a point, I was doing this thing with a university student who got in touch and I wanted to do something on his fan channels, Macaulay, his name was this morning, and he was asking us about it, and like, and I was like, look, we've said this over the years to each other and stuff, and you're like, you're weak. No matter how good your week is, ultimately, whether you've had a good week or not is decided by whether Liverpool win or lose. And that was, I always thought that was one of the worst things of the job, it were. It turns out, you know, I'd take that any day of the week over us, you know, having football. Yeah, well, or not that, having football.
But we've had this.
Because this job without football is fucking hard.
No, exactly that. If we had a different job, it'd be fine, but football would carry on. You'd still have football to entertain you on the side, but we haven't even got that. I think what the thing is, does it make me appreciate what I've got? No, it makes me really annoyed that the things I've got aren't the things that I should have, this is the bad thing. But me and my wife had this conversation, and she turned around to me and she just said, like, and I just say I'm fine. Like I'm happy. She's a teacher. Teaching's a very stressful job at the best of times. So like, you know, generally comes home absolutely wiped out from it. But she's like, I'm happy. But what it goes to show is that you're still stressed. You're still up and down. So as much as football had the ability to knock you up and down, like we've been doing the Football Manager series, and it reminded me, because obviously we're about to play the Charity Shield game and the Super Cup game, that I was. By the end of the Super Cup, I was nearly broken as a man. Like because we'd worked flat out for the season before, had the big lift of winning the European Cup, had minimal time off, then pre-season started, and it all started again, and then within the space of the season starting, we had two penalty shootouts, and my stress levels were absolutely through the roof and that, but look at it now, God, like I was ready. I was like, it was the stress was doing me head in. I was like, oh, I don't think I can handle all this anymore. Whereas, like, my God, what I'd give for a bit of stress out of my control and out of my hands. But all that stress seems very frivolous. All of a sudden, yeah, because you can be stressed about anything.
It's bloody mental, mate. Anyway, Russell Waring had a week in Amsterdam booked in June, was planning to celebrate Liverpool's title in style. Stag do at the races was cancelled. I was going to be on that one as well. Oh, we're not seeing my partner for 10 weeks now with no end in sight because the Isle of Man is in lockdown. They can only leave the island with governmental permission. If they go back, they have to be quarantined in a hotel for 2 weeks at their own expense, around £1,000. But Russell, clearly, you're not worth £1,000 for a shag. The most obvious being finally having a season ticket and, yeah, not being able to be there when Liverpool win the league. I mean, I'd be disappointed in all of that, but the fact is, your partner not coming over for a little grand shag says to me that you'd last about 2 seconds, and probably after 6 weeks in lockdown, you would, Rush.
Yeah, it's all about value for money. You're not getting value for money from that, are you? Like you'd have to make sure that you were over for a concerted period of time. You know, it's not just a one hit deal. That's mad, that isn't it? I mean, just put yourself up in a hotel. Well, I mean, fair play to the old Isle of Man authorities for cracking down on it. Like, God, that's unreal. I think Russell's winning this so far, to be perfectly honest. Jonathan Vernon.
Alex Cox. Alex Cox. I've got two more from the Patreons. Festival season ticket holders have seen us win and lift the Prem. Driving test. Gutted. General concert and the lads holiday. I tell you what, when the lads' holidays get started again, there's going to be some serious pent-up lads' holidays going on, isn't there?
I swear,
Falanachi is going to go off!
I've been meaning to say this to people for a while now, because we've got a couple of the lads who work for us on Red Men, a single and relatively young men. If the day that lockdown is properly lifted, if you can't get laid in that day, then there's just nothing down for you. This is going to be like VE Day all over again. You know, you should see those like the troops getting off,
getting
off the ship and sweeping a girl off her feet and all that kind of stuff. Like, honestly, there's going to be fucking in the streets when they finally let that go. And if you can't get your end away the day they loosen lockdown, then you might as well cut it off or sew it up, because there's nothing down for you. No pressure, by the way, but yeah, and there is.
Just like, if anyone's considering using one of those options, go for the sew it up. You might be able to work it backwards. If you chop it off, you're completely fucked.
You're never going to get to use it anyway. If you can't find someone to touch it for you on that day, then it's probably never being touched again. Just you know, it's fine. You'll figure it out, I'm sure. But it's what I'm saying. Don't feel down about this. It's going to happen, because it's just going to be a bunch of like horny savages. I'm from both sexes, by the way, and every kind of denomination in between, and every single point along the sexual spectrum, everyone is coming out absolutely ravenous for it. And it's just, I can tell, because we're just speaking to Ross and speaking to Tom and speaking to Errol on the podcast, and God bless them. And I feel really sorry for you guys if you're in that situation. I mean, look, there's rough and the smooth. You don't, like a lot of these people, it means they don't have to look after kids. But also, you know, again, there's rough and smooth in all these situations, isn't there? There's the one more, did you say, from the patrons?
Yeah, Mamongu Gaming said, I miss out on a lot of things. This is heavy, this one, actually. I've been in lockdown since 2012 due to a dickhead of a driver who didn't see me on my motorbike coming home from work. Ruined my life forever. The list for me is very long. Looking forward to the episode as always. I was messaging Mongo Gaming the other day, like, and he was telling me, I just assumed it was a he. I don't know if it's a he or a she, if I'm honest with you. I assume it was a he for some reason. Maybe there was something in one of the messages, which is, you know, he did go on to say that, you know, he's kind of used to it now and stuff like that. But obviously I was like, fucking hell, man, I don't know how you deal with something like that. But what we're going through is put into perspective a little bit, isn't it? I suppose, Paul, is what I'm trying to say. You know, we've had like 6 weeks of it or something. He's been going on since 8 years now because of an accident and stuff like that. So he probably finds us bitching and moaning about 6 weeks in lockdown. I don't know why he's still watching, to be honest with you. Maybe he likes the cuts of our jib or something. But listen, thank you, and I hope you're all right, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know it's funny. Like when you talk about that, like our problems all told, they pale into insignificance. We're, you know, we're relatively happy, relatively healthy. We've got good people.
He must have listened to me moan about my toenails last week. Like, you know what I mean? God, what the fuck, lad?
If we can't provide some frivolous entertainment, we have no use. We have very, very limited other skills but to be irreverent about things. Actually emailed us in with his coulda, woulda, shoulda. I hope he didn't.
Oh, wait, Dan, you checked the emails?
Only because you told me to. actually, I'm saying that. I didn't read it all the way through, so I just want to check he didn't ask me to be anonymous. He hasn't. That's fine.
Hey, he says,
hi, Paul and Chris.
It's too late.
Love the pod. I've been watching Red Men for maybe 8 years. You're wonderful people. Wow. It's great to see you all well and healthy. I mean, that's an exaggeration. All of those are exaggerations. Responding to your call for coulda, woulda, shoulda stories for next week's show, I'm supposed to be moving from London to New York for a career-making job. More money than I've ever had in my life, being paid to write my own book and doing it in a city I've wanted to live in since I was a kid. I've been waiting for this for over a year, during which time I had to get by on freelance work because I couldn't take a full-time job. I'm poor as shit. Now I'm stuck back home living with my parents. I'm nearly 30, as that was the only alternative to seeing out the whole of lockdown period alone. I promise I moved back when it was seemed safe to travel and self-isolate if I got home just in case. Combine that with a very difficult family dynamic, which I don't feel I should go into, and you can begin to see why I'm losing my actual marbles. Hopefully I can still go and do the thing in America, but right now there's no real way of knowing when. Obviously the story is the definition of first world problems, and this is the first time I've felt able to write it down like this, much less say it out loud. Like you said, there are so many more important things right now and so many people worse off, but I appreciate the opportunity to be a bit petulant, and I do feel a tiny bit better for it. If you wanted to read any of this out loud, I appreciate you leaving my name out of it because I really also paramount everything now. Thanks, coronavirus. There we go, Paul. Cut that bit out in the future. I did cut it out after the fact. Thank you. I did record it without leaving his name because I should have read it first. Anyway, thank you very much, Anonymous, for sending that email in to us. I mean, this is the point about all this, is that And maybe this is because I think we're reaching that point. I think we're reaching the point of lockdown now where I think it's fine to dream. I think it's fine to start thinking about the things that you want to do and you're going to do and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's fine to have a little whinge, moan and all those things in between about it, because there's far more pressing, important things. But largely, as long as we're keeping to our... We're doing what we're told to do within that. There's not much more we can do, is there, Chris? And I think as humans, no. we should be right. It's the little things in life that make life. You know, the things that add spice to life.
You're absolutely right. I mean, for me, I'm a moaner. I get by. I get fed off moaning, and it brings me up, and I enjoy it. Like, it's fun and stuff like that. Now, if I was in Anonymous's shoes, I don't know what I'd do. I'd probably top myself, to be honest with you, because that's a fucking hard thing to swallow, isn't it? You know, I mean, the lad there is seriously unlucky. A dream like that, and he's allowed to be self-indulgent on it. And he, you know, we're all allowed to be self-indulgent because this is an open forum. You've set the premise. We know that there's more important things, but we're going to do this regardless.
The living back home thing is big, and because when you talk about like your mental health, there's pillars to your life, and I'm paraphrasing this slightly, but it's like your relationships, your home, your work and your family, and some of them might be home and family might be similar things, but when one of them is in distress, it can cause depression, it can cause mental health issues. And I said the thing that I enjoy most about life is being able to come home at the end of the day and lock my front door and know that it's just the people that I have chosen to spend my life with, who are the people I'm in contact with. And obviously, maybe we've all spent a bit too much time together in the last 7 weeks, but all told, I've chosen to be with these people. The people that I've chosen, a woman that I've chosen to be with, and the people that I've made with that woman. When you are forced into a circumstance where you are with people that you shouldn't necessarily be with, and that's not even that, like, that can be family as well, particularly as a girl, being a grown up and living with other grown ups is horrible. Like, I hated it. I moved back to Liverpool when I was 22, and I had a couple of years of living at home prior to meeting Charlie and eventually moving out, and it was horrendous. It was absolutely horrendous. And I see, like, we had friends who stayed at home long. My sister's still at home, and they get on okay. But that there's loads of people living in circumstances. Yeah,
that dynamic's horrible, isn't it? I mean, I remember moving out and then moving back home and stuff. I remember moving to uni and moving back home, and you know, as much as you love your parents and stuff like that, I was thinking of that movie Inside Out.
Yeah.
You know, and your family thing and your family fairground in her brain, it changes. It's dilapidated, that one, and you move on to a different one, and then to go back and reopen the old fairground is really difficult to do, because also the people that you've lived with have changed, and your role to them has changed.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, you're not a child that they're looking after anymore. You're a fucking drain on them half the time. You know, you're using it like a hotel room, and the dynamic's completely changed and stuff like that. And you're used to being able to watch what you want, and you know, sometimes you might be made to feel guilty because you want to go and do something different. Whereas when you were a kid, you used to sit in the living room and watch Corey with them because that's what they were doing. It all changes, and you've got to pull your weight, and it's a difficult situation. Like, it genuinely is a difficult situation, because as a grown up, as a 30-year-old man or woman, and he is likely, or she is likely, to have forged his own path in life. And to go back and then have to settle into the stream that his mum and dad are in, it's just weird, man. It's just hard. It's dead hard to deal with.
People have their ways of living. And when you have your own idea of how the world should be run and how life should be, and when you've got your own space, you're the master of that domain, and you know the world can be whatever you want it to be, your little space of the world. When you don't have that ability, that's a very difficult. So, like, I understand. Thanks very much for the person to send in that email. And of course, I hope you hand on things and fingers crossed it all comes out. But like I say, I get that. I was thinking about this because, like, CopCon's been postponed. They're talking about getting it back up and running, maybe September, October. But you just don't know, do you? And it's like, and it sounds stupid and selfish. But and we're having this with the football stuff in general, aren't we? Actually, because you know, there's talk the football's going to come back. So the Bundesliga, it's going to be the end of May. They've got that penciled in now, haven't they? It's been knocked back another week or so. But there's obviously the Premier League are waiting to see what the government does on Sunday before they make their decisions by the looks of it. And I'm at the point now when I'm and I said this all along, everyone's got an agenda in the return of football stuff. And mine is centred around, it comes down to it's a business thing. It's an entertainment thing, but it's a business thing. People can say it's my own fault for having a business that's based around football, but yeah, fine. There's lots of businesses based around lots of things that are struggling in this world. And ours is a very small and insignificant thing, but it still has an impact on my thoughts and feelings about footy coming back. It's the fit. What I'm starting to see, though, is interesting, Chris, is footballers' fears coming out, and I'd not really considered it truly from the football players' perspective. And it's hard to, because we don't like to think of things from players' perspectives, because I think they're surrounded by this mega money bubble, and we kind of feel as though like they're just fine because they're so rich. Who gives a shit about any heartaches or struggles they have to go through? But when you see them, I heard it phrased, football players are going to have to walk into a room and be told that they need to agree to do something, a set of circumstances which could lead to them dying. And like, I'd not really thought about it. I'm just thinking it from a perspective of, well, you make it safe, you quarantine them, and you have the, you know, put all the measures in place, and then it'll be behind closed doors and blah, blah, blah. I'd not really thought about, if you're a football player and you're a germaphobe and you're really nervous about all this, I've seen that happen to normal people. Like, my cousin's wife is very much like this. She makes my cousin, like, go when he goes and does the shop and strip off in the porch and put in, you know, and lash his clothes in a bin bag and then gets them straight in the wash because she's properly on it. If you're a football player and you have all those fears, this would seem like lunacy bringing the sport back.
Don't play. What's the bigger fucking deal?
Yeah.
Sorry, like, if it's a working condition that you're not happy with, don't play.
Yeah.
it's not that difficult. Football ultimately is a business.
Yeah.
Now, the contracts are different to ours.
Yeah.
But if an employee's got a problem with the working conditions, they wouldn't go in. Now, this is probably why the PFA union and all that type of stuff have obviously got something to say. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is, and I feel terrible for saying this, by the way, and I'm probably going to get shot down by a lot of people, right? But I think we've lost perspective on what the lockdown was supposed to have done.
Yes.
Right? The lockdown was not to make sure that nobody ever gets sick again.
Yeah.
The lockdown was to prevent the NHS being overloaded and overworked.
Yeah.
Sickness is always going to happen. And, mm-hmm. I hate to say this, but I believe it. It's and I sound like I'm going for herd immunity, and I'm not in any way. I'm completely against it. You're not going to be able to stop every person to ever get sick again from COVID-19.
Yeah.
That's not what the lockdown was for.
Yeah.
There are people that are going to get sick, unfortunately. And there are people that, you know, and people will die, unfortunately, like they do, like the flu, every mm-hmm. single year. And I'm not one of these who thinks it should have just been left unchecked because it's not as dangerous as the flu. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we've lost perspective on what the lockdown is for.
Yeah.
It's not like you can't lift the lockdown and then expect nobody to get sick ever again from COVID-19.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You do your best, and now that the NHS is in the right position, then I believe the, you know, these things can start up again. Now, the difficulty with footballers and football is that it's a fucking contact sport that goes against social distancing.
Yeah.
That's the issue,
yeah.
I think, is the problem.
Yeah.
Not the fact that they may or may not get COVID-19 from being in contact with somebody else. The issue is, how do you do it with football? And how do you make that safe? And sweat and everything else that goes in. And if players have fears over that, they don't have to play.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Because, that's what comes down to, Paul.
Yeah.
They don't have to play.
It's mad.
And if Sergio Aguero doesn't want to play, Sergio Aguero doesn't play. And if Virgil van Dijk doesn't want to play, doesn't play.
Yeah, I know. Well, this is why it's so complex, isn't it? Because, and it's a different circumstances. And again, the money side of things is always going to boil down to it. And I wonder whether, because it's weird, but it's mad to talk about it from this perspective. But, like, there was the Crystal Palace chairman was on the radio, and he was just saying, like, he's struggling to see where money's going to come into his club from, like, August, September onwards if football doesn't return. And again, that's what it's going to end up boiling down to is, you know, and football players can take it or leave it, I guess, ultimately. But it's the crossover period of, who are you prepared to risk, to endanger your life in order to make sure that your business, the sport or the businesses, your football clubs and all those are able to keep going. And that's a really weird situation for us to end up in, because football isn't that important in so many circumstances. But we're going to find that it's not just football that's going to start happening to businesses all across the globe, is that people are going to have to, people can't be furloughed forever. Because there's not a bottomless pit of money that's going to be able to fund that. And there's only so many businesses that are going to go to the wall. And some will have to, because there'll be no choice, because some things won't be allowed, just simply won't be allowed to happen. Like things like pubs and restaurants, we don't know how they're going to come back. But the football, I just wonder whether there will be a couple of points. Perhaps just in the phrasing of how the government talks about it next might allay fears, because you're right, at the moment, it's just not possible. Because everyone's being told to stay 6 feet away, but then there's talk of like there being a hundred question list from club doctors and medical people saying here's the things that need to be addressed before it can happen. And I hope they do work that all out. But I'd never really thought of it. But then I was talking to one of the guys. I went to the shop today, and one of the guys behind the counter, he stood there. He's got a Perspex screen between me and him at the till, and that's it. And there's loads of people out there who don't have a choice. Now this is where it comes down to it, and I don't know what my point I'm trying to make here is. People need to work in shops because we need people to work in shops, and this is where you come into the money question. Is these people are being paid minimum wage and effectively putting their lives on the line, and all they're doing is standing behind a till. I don't quite know where to fall on it, but there's loads of. I guess you can kind of take it in a football fashion.
Yeah. You don't have to fall anywhere, Paul. It's totally okay to think out loud and make a decision if you want to make a decision later on, as we know. And, I think about, the Perspex screen's great, but what happens when your boss tells you to go and fucking straighten the shelves up and pull all the things to the front, and some fella who has COVID-19 has picked up a Mars bar and decided he wants a Snickers? Like, great that you've got a fucking screen there, mate.
Yeah.
But are you never touching anything in your shop that's been put out again?
Yeah, that's true.
Come on.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. From the football perspective, what they're doing with the Bundesliga, is they're saying, is that the players have got to basically quarantine for 2 weeks before the season starts.
They need to quarantine throughout.
Exactly. Otherwise, exactly. But you quarantine, what I mean is, that as well. But the quarantine in the 2 weeks build up to it, so that there's as much of an air break between them, whatever they're living at the moment, and there and then. And the thing is, people might well get it. And the problem is that, I think it was something like the Aston Villa was saying, is like, what if their best player, they're in a relegation fight, and what if their best players get the virus and therefore can't finish the season? This is the thing, is that you're right. It's where your point's right, is that COVID is going to exist regardless. It's not going away. It's not being cured. So it's going to exist in the world. And it's at what point do you get, what point are we able to get on with it? The question is whether this is just too soon. Are we forcing this just to make it happen? And we don't know that, because we don't know how much money's going to talk on all this. And are we being stupid to want this back here and now? Because it's right, it's a point. But it's like saying, if there's a stomach bug outbreak, to some extent, if everyone contracts a stomach bug, you're going to lose players in the running in the same way. But it's because obviously the corona is so prevalent and it's such a big thing that I get that clubs are going to be using that to, as a defence for them not being able to play again and whatever.
Money will ultimately talk. I think you're right on that point. I think, for me, if I was looking at it, and without the levels of research that these clubs and doctors will have, and the experience and the brain power that these people would have, I'd have a quarantine, and I would have it like World Cups, because I've got a thing where Liverpool do win the league at the Etihad now. That's where I think Liverpool are going to win the league, because I think we're going to play our games in the Etihad, because it's outside the city centre, far enough that's probably one of the stadiums that they're going to use, and it's been talked about as well. I'd have them stay in some kind of Commonwealth village with the other football teams in the same fucking hotel, and have everybody who works there agree to that. Are you going to work in this hotel? If you want your job back, you're going to have to work, live, breathe everything in this hotel. And I'm afraid there's not going to be any contact with the outside world until this season gets done. And the players are going to have to do that, and the families are going to have to do that. And if you're not happy to do that, then that's fine. But we're probably, as clubs, not going to pay you $300,000 a week.
Yeah.
We will happily keep you on our books we'll happily get you back onto your normal contract when the world returns, right? But it's totally your choice. We know you've got enough money in the bank to survive.
Yeah.
We're not worried about you in that regard. We're just going to leave you along for this part of the journey.
Yeah.
And if you want to come and play for us and you want to focus on football and you want to get back to that normality, yeah, in inverted commas, then you're going to have to come and do this with us. And you don't have to. You can come and do this with us. And I think that's where teams are going to be. Mm. And I think that's the sensible way. You give them an option. You don't force anyone into doing anything because these are nuts times.
Yeah.
But you do try and get football back up and running. And look, I think the too soon thing might be right, Paul.
Yeah.
I think it might be too soon.
Yeah.
But then equally, we're also not talking about today.
Yeah.
It's too soon right now with the where we are in the pandemic. We're talking 6 weeks in the future.
Yeah.
And 6 weeks ago, we were just entering this. And 6 weeks before that, there was nothing.
Yeah.
So 6 weeks is a hell of a long time. It just moves very slowly when you're stuck in a fucking bedroom on your tod for most of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let us know your thoughts then. You know, anything that's kind of stirred up. Because, yeah, hearing it from the football safety perspective, you know, if you think about, like, we were talking about The Last Dance last week and the bit about Michael Jordan breaking his foot and the owners saying, like, a 10%, one in 10 chance or a 10% chance that it could end your career is a gamble we're not willing to take. And I wonder what that gamble now looks like from an owner's perspective. Like, you know, if you, like, I mean, it's just use an extreme example, but if Mo Salah dies because he's contracted coronavirus, like, they're the risk assessments to the degree that are going to end up having to be considered in all these things. And that's why you're right, like, someone else is going to have to make these decisions, and we're not going to know what's truly right, you know, in all of this until it happens, I guess.
Do you know what, and you're right, do you know one of the major issues I think the Premier League has got, and football in this country has got, apologies, I've worded that wrong, is that we don't have one governing body.
Yeah.
And this is one of those instances where it really becomes apparent that we don't have one governing body.
Yeah.
Because just because the Premier League comes back, they're their own entity. They can do whatever the fuck they want to do. It means nothing for the rest of the FA.
Yeah.
It means nothing for the Championship. Yeah. And I tell you what, they're not going to look after the little man, these capitalist Premier League clubs. They're not going to put money into the EFL and the FA and all that type of stuff. They're not. They're just not going to do it. Mm. They're not even in the same competition. They're not even governed by the same people. Like, we're going to lose lots of football clubs after this. And the Premier League doesn't care. Because it's not even part of what's going on, like, and it's a mad thing, that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's going to be an ongoing discussion. So even like
they're going to sue if there's no relegation.
Yeah,
because they've got a contract.
And therefore, no promotion. Yeah,
yeah, and they've got a contract that says we get three of yours and you get three of ours every year. And if the Premier League decide that they're not going to relegate three teams and they're going to take another three, how does that work, Paul?
Yeah,
because I've heard this 23-man team. What do you think the FA are just going to go? Yes, have three of our clubs. Why?
Yeah, exactly. Complex, in it, and again, it's one of those things. It's another one of those conversations. Hopefully, we're reaching the end in terms of the sporting thing, in terms of our lives, where the government are going to give us just a little glimmer, put a date on it, put something in our calendars that we can work towards, even if it's only just a gradual loosening of the situation so we can all get up. But I mean, if it's not ready to do that, it's not ready to do that. This is it's always going to be the case. But I think from all of our perspectives, we could do with just having a little bit more clarity on what life can possibly start to look like. Because the minute I go again, I'm just on this constant cycle. Yesterday, I was feeling quite positive and upbeat about everything. And today, I'm right back to feeling really down and miserable about the prospects of everything. It's weird. And because, again, you have these positive think pieces and then they're counterbalanced the day later with the negative think pieces, and here's everything that's going to potentially go wrong. Just people who are cleverer and in a better position to sort these things out, just sort them out for us and let us know what to do. That'd be lovely. Cheers. Do you want to say... Actually, you wanted to do... There was a game you wanted to play before we wrap up.
Yeah, I think so. So obviously you put me onto Community, the show on Netflix, and one of the endings, they had a game where they just did a once upon a time story, one word at a time between them.
Okay.
And I thought, you know what? There's no one in this world that I'd rather attempt this with than my man, Mr. Paul Machin. Once
upon
a
time.
Grandad.
David.
Got.
Upset.
You're terrible at this. Because
he
Fucked.
Another
dog
in
the
back
door
of
his
house.
And
then
he
unfortunately
grabbed
hold
of
a
woman's
ginormous
vagina.
It
covered
95%
of
his
head
from
what?
From
here
to
here.
Lastly,
but
lastly, but
yeah, covered his head from here to here.
Full stop.
Right.
Lastly,
he
drove
a
unleaded
car
backwards
through
a
lollipop man.
The
end.
There we go. Someone wants to put that into a graphic for us. With like one of those stock images of like a parent telling a story to their child, that would be absolutely amazing. And tweet it to us at MateXPageX or MateXPageX at gmail.com. That would be fantastic. Yes, great. There we go.
I enjoyed that. I think we should get better at it.
Let's do another one next week and send in as well some more of your coulda, woulda, shouldas as well for next week as well. We'll do one a week just to keep people going. If you need to like get that off your chest, please do. Thank you to everyone who did. Thank you to everyone who supported us. By joining our Patreon once again. The names of the people who are in our absolute legend tier are coming up at the end of the podcast.
Yes.
As they were last week for those eagle-eyed viewers who noticed that. But yeah, we'll be back. Make sure you like on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're nearly at 20,000 subscribers. 5-star reviews. That was 10 fingers, but 5-star reviews. Do 2 5-star reviews. That'd be great. We'll be back with another Machen Payjack podcast next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.